Hey everyone, since publishing my long video on Russian literature, a small bunch of idiots complained about me making a video about Russian literature at the time when the country is at war. My response is that precisely the time to understand the country's literature because it reveals deeper truths about the country. It's not the time to keep your head in the sand, it's time you learn the country and its literature is a perfect window. My second reason is that literature lets you have a bigger perspective, a long-term view of the country and its culture. Countries go to war, make peace, become friends, then enemy, and the cycle continues. Politics tend to be short-term, while literature gives you a long-term perspective. Now, my third reason for talking about Russian literature has nothing to do with the current geopolitical conflict. Russian literature is extremely profound in revealing, exposing the human condition. The video mainly focused on the 19th century literature, and the reason these authors and their works have persisted for such a long time is because they speak to us. They tell us the truth about our existence. So Russian literature is far more universal than a lot of these idiots with keyboard can comprehend. So, if you reject a country's profound literature because the country's at war right now, you are an emotional idiot, my friend. You need to watch less TV news coverage and start reading literature. The media keeps you outraged, while literature makes you understand the bigger picture. I think if you watch the video fully, you wouldn't make idiotic comments. Instead, you come out with a fresh perspective about the nature of this world and the human condition, because none of these Russian giants justified any war or human suffering. Instead, they shed lights into why these things happen and how to prevent them. But the main topic I would like to discuss here is about Nikolai Gogol and whether he was Ukrainian or Russian. So let me chime in. Later, I'll try to read a few passages from Gogol's works about his views or half-views on Ukraine as well as Russia. First thing first, my video's thumbnail reads, Russian literature is insane. Well, it is. And that's not the problem. Its title reads the incredible works of eight Russian giants. So a lot of people have taken issues with me for including Gogol in the video arguing he wasn't Russian. He was Ukrainian. In my defense, the video is not about nationality, literature is about language. Therefore, it belongs to those who speak the language, not those who hold the passport. In the video, I explain Gogol's Ukrainian background in detail, but a lot of these dummies in the comment section seem to ignore that. Gogol wrote in Russian. Not just that, his most famous works are also about Russia and Russian people. To make my case even stronger, Gogol, while ethnically Ukrainian, didn't have a Ukrainian passport at the time. He was a citizen of the Russian Empire. Now, some might take issue with the Russian imperial conquest of Ukraine, but that's a different topic. Ukraine has been an independent state since 1991 after the fall of the USSR. But the topic of a writer's language, nationality, and ethnicity is not as clear-cut as I would like it to be. Was Gogol Russian or Ukrainian? Gogol was born in modern-day Ukraine, and his family belonged to Ukrainian-speaking people of the Cossack origin, as well as some Polish background in his family. So he was Ukrainian by ethnicity. His father, Vasily Gogol Yanovsky, also used his Polish surname, but Gogol dropped Yanovsky, perhaps in an attempt to be accepted in the Russian Empire, or perhaps it was a sensible decision as a writer. In order to be successful, a Polish surname might not have been a good idea at the time when the Poles were rebelling against the Russian Empire. But what makes it complicated is that he wrote all his major works in Russian. Why? At the time, Ukraine was part of the Russian Tsarist Empire, so the Russian language offered more opportunities for the young writer. The same goes for someone like Franz Kafka, who was born in Prague but wrote all his major works in German. Gogol, as a young man, moved to St. Petersburg to seek his fortune at the capital of the Tsar. There, he managed to make a name for himself. At the time, he was referred to as a writer from the Little Russia, which denotes his Ukrainian background. Ukrainian was called Mala Rus, or Little Russia at the time. Today, Belarus has kept its name, which means White Russia. So many Russian critics at the time referred to Gogol as Ukrainian, but his fame grew more and more. He became a very serious and established writer. He was called Russian writer in major newspapers and literary magazines. At the beginning of his career, Gogol wrote primarily stories from Ukraine. His first book was a collection of Ukrainian stories titled Evenings on the Farm near Dikonka in two volumes, which were published in 1831 and 1832. Also, his 1835 epic novel Taras Bulba is also about Ukrainian Cossacks who fight against the Poles, not Russians. Gogol was fascinated by the history of the Cossacks. However, in his epic, Gogol doesn't pitch Ukraine against Russia, but rather against its western enemy, the Poles and Lithuanians. As you know, western Ukraine was ruled by the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth for centuries, while eastern Ukraine was part of the Russian Empire. And even to this day, there's an east-west divide in Ukraine. Nikolai Gogol characterizes the Cossacks as a mix of between Europeans and Asians because there was a lot of intermarriages between the Slavs and the Tatar Turks. He says, quote, "Owing to this commingling, their facial features, so different from one another's, received a common impress, trending towards the Asiatic. And so there came into being a nation and faith and place belonging to Europe. On the other hand, in ways of life, customs and dress, quite Asiatic. It was a nation in which the world's two extremes came in contact. European caution and Asiatic indifference, naivete, cunning, an intense activity and greatest laziness and indulgence, an aspiration to development and perfection, and again a desire to appear indifferent to perfection." End quote. For Gogol, this gave the Cossacks a sense of dangerous, heroic, and untamed characteristics, whose only value was freedom to roam the plains. When the Russians took over, they didn't destroy the Cossacks' militarism. Rather, they incorporated into the Russian army. So Gogol's Taras Bulba is a love letter to the epic history of the Cossacks, which no longer existed in his time. Here's Gogol's character, Andrei, the son of Taras Bulba, talking about his love for a woman compared to his love for Ukraine. Here's talking to a woman from the side of the enemy. "Deceive not yourself and me, noble sir," she said, gently shaking her beautiful head. "I know, and to my great sorrow, I know but too well, it is impossible for you to love me. I know what your duty is and your faith. Your father calls you, your comrades, your country. We are your enemies." He responds, "And what are my father, my comrades, my country to me?" said Andrei with a quick movement of his head and straightening up his figure like a poplar beside the river. "But that as it may, I have no one, no one," he repeated, and with that movement of the hand with which the Cossack expresses his determination to do some unheard-of deed impossible to any other man. "Who says that Ukraine is my country? Who gave it to me for my country? Our country is the one our soul longs for, the one which is dearest of all to us. My country is you. That's my native land, and I bear that country in my heart. I'll bear it there all my life, and I will see whether any of the Cossacks can tear it thence. And I will give everything, barter everything, I'll destroy myself for that country." Gogol was madly in love with his native land, Ukraine, spent his childhood there. So he started his career with stories from his native land. But living in St. Petersburg, he became known as a writer from Little Russia. In other words, he was boxed as a Ukrainian writer, which was cute, but not considered a serious Russian writer. To be taken seriously, Gogol changed gear. He started writing about Russia, and his fame grew exponentially as a result. A modern-day example is Kazuo Ishiguro, who in the 1980s started writing about Japan, and the British media labeled him as a Japanese writer, which propelled him to change gear with his masterpiece, The Remains of the Day, a quintessential English story, and today he's called a British writer. Why? Because he stopped writing about Japan. The same happened to Gogol. But Gogol didn't become a blind supporter of Russia. Instead, he used all his literary skills to expose the problems of Russia through comedy. His comic tales show the issue Russia was suffering at the time. His masterpiece, Dead Souls, is about a Russian scammer who buys debt serfs to make him look rich on paper so he can borrow money from banks. His greatest short stories, like The Nose and The Overcoat, and his most famous play, Government Spectre, are all set in Russia, and they poke fun at the aspects of the Russian society through comedy. In these tales, Gogol pokes fun at Russians and the Empire, which made him unique and popular at the time. He was an outsider who saw...
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What was wrong with the Russian society at the time? In his preface to Dead Souls, he refers to himself as part of the Russian Empire, but also distances himself from fully knowing the Russian way of life. Of course, with the publication of Dead Souls, he became a sensation in Russia and everyone claimed him as a true Russian writer. Here, Gogol talks about his protagonist, Chichikov. Quote, "Him I have taken as a type to show forth the vices and the failings rather than the merits and the virtues of the commonplace Russian individual, and the characters which revolve around him have also been selected for the purpose of demonstrating our national weaknesses and shortcomings." So here he says our national weaknesses and shortcomings, by which he means Russian, or at least the Russian Empire, which was his nationality at the time, which included Ukraine and many other countries at the time. Nikolai Gogol was also aware that to criticize Russia or the Russian character, he had to make it his own. Otherwise, he would be exposing himself to some attacks by Russian nationalists. So throughout the novel, Gogol doesn't separate himself from Russia. Here's a famous passage in which Gogol likens Russian march towards progress to the march of a troika, or a horse carriage drawn by three horses. Quote, "And you, Rus, do you not hurtle forward too, like some spirited troika that none can catch? A trail of smoke marks your passage, the bridges rumble, everything falls back and is left behind. On seeing this miracle of God, the onlooker stops in his tracks. What is this? A bolt of lightning hurled from the heavens? And this terrifying onrush, what does it portend, and what unearthly power lies hidden in these unearthly steeds? And the steeds, what steeds? What steeds? And are there whirlwinds caught in your manes? Is there some eager, sensitive ear burning in every fiber of your being? You hear the familiar song ring out from high above. In unison, you tense your bronze chests, and your hooves skimming the ground, you are transformed into toed, elongated forms, flying through the air, and you hurtle forward, inspired by God. Rus, where are you racing? Give an answer. No answer comes. With a wondrous jingling, the carriage bells ring out, torn into shreds. The air rumbles and turns to wind. Everything on this earth flashes by as, with an oblique look, other peoples and empires step aside to let her fly past. Here Gogol talks about not only the Russian progress, but also expansion some 200 years ago. If anything, reading Gogol will tell you how little things have changed. Whether he was criticizing or praising is beside the point. For Gogol, Dead Souls was a perfect metaphor for progress for the sake of it. Chichikov, the main character of Dead Souls, was a scam artist. But he didn't see it that way because Russia was so big that you can be a respectable gentleman in one area, a crook in another. Here's another passage from Dead Souls where he talks about Russia from a somewhat outsider's perspective, perhaps a Ukrainian perspective. Quote, "Rus, Rus, I see you. I see you from my wondrous, beautiful distance. I see you mired in poverty and mess, unwelcoming, and no arresting wonders of nature, crowned by further arresting wonders of art, to delight the eye or to startle. No cities with lofty, many-windowed palaces, clinging like moss to rocky crags, no picture trees and spreading ivy growing over houses lost in the roar and eternal spray of waterfalls. No need to crane back and look up at massive granite slabs towering high, immeasurably high above, no dark arches piled one above the other and choked with vines, ivy, and numberless millions of wild roses through which eternal contours of radiant mountains might be glimpsed in the distance, soaring upward into the silvery skies above. Everything within you is open, desolate, and flat. Your squat towns barely protrude above the level of your wide plains, marking them like little dots, like specks. Here is nothing to entice and fascinate the onlooker's gaze. Yet whence this unfathomable, uncanny force that draws me to you? Why do my ears ring unceasingly when your dreary song that carries across your length and breadth from sea to sea? What is there in it? What is in it in that song? What is it that so beckons and sobs and tugs at the heart? What sounds are these that stings as they caress, that erupt into my soul and twine about my heart? Rus, what is it you want of me? What is the hidden unfathomable bond that holds us fast? Why do you gaze like that? And why is it that everything in you has turned to look at me with eyes full of expectation? And while I stand baffled and motionless, there suddenly falls across my head the shadow of a thundercloud, heavy with imminent rain, and my mind is benumbed in the face of your vastness. What does this immense expanse portend? Is it not here in you that some boundless thought should be born, since you yourself are without end? Is it not here that the hero of the legend is to appear, where there is a space for him to unfurl his limbs and stride about? Menacing is the embrace in which your mighty expanse enfolds me. Terrible the force with which it strikes me to the very core. Unnatural the power with which my eyes burn bright. Oh, what a glittering, wondrous distance, vaster than any there is on earth. Rus. As we can see, Gogol talks about Russia through his character, Selifan, a peasant coach driver whose job was to travel the expanse of the country. Yet he appears not to fully understand Russia. This mystery has persisted even to today. Even Gogol was fascinated with Russia, but shows how mysterious a country it is. Now, going back to the original question, Gogol's ethnic heritage was Ukrainian Cossack. That's why for some Ukrainians, calling him Russian is insulting. My counter to that is, while Gogol was an ethnic Ukrainian, he was primarily known for his literary skills and his written words. He wrote in Russian. So purely from a literary perspective, he was a Russian language writer. But it's not as simple as that, though. Gogol is also known for his humor, which you could say is perhaps more Ukrainian than Russian. Russians tend to be more serious, while Gogol was a comic genius. Let me give you an example about the difference between Russia and Ukraine. Gogol's comedy is very distinct from other Russian writers at the time. To illustrate this, let's look at their respective presidents, A Tale of Two Vladimirs. I know it's a bit superficial, but it perfectly fits with Gogol's style of writing. Vladimir Putin was an intelligence officer, while Vladimir Zelensky was an actor. Him becoming a president seems a story written by Google. Zelensky played a president on TV. And shortly after, he was elected the country's real president. Google could have scripted that in one of his stories. Today, both Russia and Ukraine claim Google as their own. This is a good thing. It only shows that Google was a genius. I wish two countries were fighting over me or over you. But it's tricky. A lot of Irish writers like James Joyce and Samuel Beckett are considered Irish writers without writing in Irish. They primarily wrote in English and French. But the counter is that they were ethnically Irish, but also held Irish passports, far as I know. Google held a Russian Empire passport because Ukraine wasn't an independent country at the time, while Ireland wasn't independent at the time Joyce and Beckett were writing. And who knows, maybe Google didn't even have a passport because he lived at a time when there was no passport. One of the strongest arguments in favor of Ukraine is that Google spent his early childhood and early teenage years in Ukraine and spoke Ukrainian. So based on Freudian psychology, that childhood is the most important stage of our personality. His writing was primarily influenced by the Ukrainian upbringing. His outlook, his sensibilities, his humor, his overall perspective had Ukrainian flavor. While it's hard to quantify those things, it's still important in a writer's development. So the seed was sown in Ukraine, but it started fruiting in Russia. I think without his Ukrainian heritage and without the fertile soil of Russian intellectual and literary environment, we would not have had Google. So just as nature and nurture play an intermingling dynamic role in one's upbringing, Google had the Ukrainian Cossack spirit, but nurtured as a great writer in Russian society. My final thought is that Google belongs to the whole humanity. He was a genius, and instead of fighting over which people he belongs to, we should focus on reading and enjoying his work, and if possible, learning from the man. So if you have not watched, I highly recommend you watch my extended video on Google's life and his major works, especially Dead Souls. Thank you for watching.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.